I think that the new thing is to have protests against soccer. We have to make a distinction here, which is very subtle, between protesting against the government, which sometimes there is a connection between protests against the government and FIFA, against the high cost of stadiums and the high degree of corruption in the construction of the stadiums. That's one level. The other is the football game, is the game itself. And I knew that this will happen because once the cup heads its start, hospitality overcomes the hostility against FIFA, against the government, and even against what was spent, you know, the claim that we should be spending more money on education, security, and health than on these stadiums, which is a very rational and just, you know, claim. But claims are also in contradiction. Compassion contradicts justice. If you're too compassive, nobody's going to be arrested. So there is a fact that we should not mistreat the visitors, the tourists there in Brazil. And above all, we should not ashamed our country by stealing from them, by cheating on them, and so on. The protesters, probably the people that came against them, were thinking of those elements, those positive elements, instead of the justified claims that they were making.
So it's a moral dilemma, because on the one hand, many people, I presume, haven't changed their mind about wanting the World Cup money to be spent on socially beneficial projects. But on the other hand, they know that the world is coming to their country. And it's a country that, strangely, a lot of the world don't really know much about.
In your question, there's a fundamental phrase. People don't know much about Brazil. Actually, people know very little about Brazil. Probably Brazilians know much more about the history of Europe and England and the United States than vice versa. In 1950, for instance, Europeans, and especially Americans, used to think that the capital of Brazil was Buenos Aires, which was a shame for Brazilians. Of course, I don't know if where Liverpool is. You know, most Brazilians don't know. You know, if talk about the Industrial Revolution, where it started, you know, people are not going to mention Manchester. But for heaven's sake, we know much more because we studied the history of Europe. Labor in Brazil is not a matter of being underpaid. Labor in Brazil is immorally paid. If you get 10 professors to fix a painter in a wall, you know, 8 of them will hurt their fingers with a hammer because we are not trained like that. Every Brazilian middle-class household has a maid, and it's a symbol of social ascension to have a maid, to have somebody that will drive for you, that will cook for you. And that's the way we are raised, you know, by our mothers, cleaning the child, kissing them, embracing them, giving the food in the mouth. And this has to do, in a way, with hospitality. So how can you watch a group of foreigners that are trying to see this game, which is a very important sport in the Brazilian culture, and see people against them? And the other element that should be corrected is the amount of people that are protesting. It's not 100,000 people. It's not even 2,000 people. It's a group of people. They're bothering everybody. And I'm completely against people going to the streets wearing masks. I never wear a mask in my life. My face is clean and clear, and you can take a picture of me while I am protesting. Why are you going to protest? And then suddenly you jump from football and start breaking banks and supermarkets. You know. So this is something that has to be said. The use of the World Cup as a scapegoat for other kinds of manifestations. Some of them are legitimated, some are illegitimated.
What happens to these protests if Brazil are knocked out early in the competition? Will that change this dynamic?
I'll give you a Shakespearean answer. One side of me says, yes, there will be a change. Something is going to happen. On the other hand, we have people say, my dear friends, the world is not made only of work. We need time to rest. We have to make love. We have to appreciate a nice pension. Otherwise, there'll be no art. And I can go even further and say that some people like me believe that the world is invented by football and by art in general, not the other way around. You know, I wish I had a crystal ball. I think that if we are eliminated from the cup, is something probably is going to happen.
Can you explain the relationship that Brazil has with football?
Brazil won 5 world championships. Everybody's very proud of it. It was the first instrument that somehow gave Brazil a fundamental element to have self-esteem, because Brazilians always thought of themselves as an inferior country vis-a-vis, you know, England and Europe and the United States. For Brazilians, football encompasses, it embraces a very positive view of Brazil. A Brazil that works very well. A Brazil that there is some kind of purity in terms of what you say and what you do. A Brazil in which performance is more important than the color of your skin, the size of your body, the education you have. It's pure talent. It's very much like jazz in the US of A, where all the aristocrats are not watching the musicians. The musicians are the aristocrats, you know.
So football has given Brazilian people a freedom of equality?
It provided a fundamental dramatization of equality, because the rules are the same. Family name doesn't count. It's impossible to encompass football by ideology. There is no team that... It doesn't matter if you're right or left in football. You have to score goals. So it's like playing an instrument or singing. Either you sing well or you don't. All those elements put together provided Brazil, since the 1930s, the first World Cups, with a view that, my God, you know, we are really good in something which the British invented. But who are the British for the Brazilians? They were our professors of civilization. And for us, football is something that we stole from the British. We stole from this civilizing guys that came all pale and big and, you know, and had special laws.
So the British came and gave you the railway, a bit of infrastructure, some agriculture. But what you really wanted and what you really took was football.
I agree. One of the great joys of my life was to see the French national team, the British national team, especially the German national team and the Dutch national team with blacks playing. And we started that with Pelé and all those guys that were playing in Sweden. And probably those Scandinavian guys said, what color is this guy? That's a strange color. You know, he's not white, but he's not completely black. He's a mixture. And that's what we have. And that's what we are.
Do you think the World Cup will leave a social legacy here in Brazil?
It will leave the legacy of the stadiums. And they're going to leave the memory that we have to do a lot in terms of urban structures in Brazil, in terms of transportation. I think that people are going to be much more aware about this. The political domain and football are getting to be closer, much closer, after this cup. So we have to be less easygoing with public administration, because one fact of life that the demonstrators had been doing in a very positive way is to show that everything in social life is connected. You know, if you use money for X, you're not using money for Z or R or T or A. And you have to balance that. And that is an important point.
So you think it's worth having the World Cup here?
I think it's worth for the emotions. I think it's worth for the beauty of football, for people coming to Brazil and realizing how Brazil is, you know, is, and getting in touch with the reality of Brazil, firsthand reality, tasting the food, you know, feeling the warmth of Brazilians in Brazil, and realizing the contradictions we have, and comparing our contradictions with the contradictions they're bringing.
absolutely fascinating. Roberto D'Amata, thank you so much for your time on World Football. And just actually, the fundamental question I haven't asked you, who's going to win?
Don't know. That's the whole point of it. You never know.
Touché. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.